Good morning, and welcome to the KRFY Morning Show on Thursday, April 28th of 2016. I'm your host, Jack, along with guest co-host in the studio again this morning, Carrie Logan. And good morning, Carrie.
How are you? Good morning. I'm doing great. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Today, our guests in the studio are Karin Wiedemeyer and John Sarchio from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. And we'll be talking about, in addition to other things, their concert at the Panetta Theater tonight. But before we start talking about that, let me give you a quick rundown of the weather. 30% chance of showers today and a high near 59, at least according to the National Weather Service. Though it seems to me that they've been under-predicting that underestimating that high temperature lately. So maybe it's going to be a little warmer again, at least in the downtown Sandpoint area.
And the beach for the high school kids.
That's right. Yeah, it seems to get a little warmer than they claim. Tonight, a high chance of showers, about 80%, low near 40 degrees. Tomorrow, showers are likely again, high near 55, and the same goes for Friday night with a low down to about 40. On Saturday, the chance of showers exists, but I'd say it's a little diminished. Looks like about 30% chance of showers on Saturday, and then it looks like it'll be clearing up on Saturday night for a mostly sunny Sunday with a high near 70 on Sunday, and sunny and 73 going into next week. So that looks all right. And you know, we need a little rain right now. Makes that late summer a little more comfortable, a little more breathable as the heat increases and the rain goes away. Karin Wiedemeyer is the executive director of the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, right? Of Sandpoint,
yep.
Yeah. And and John Sarchio is the new community programs director. And you guys have a concert tonight at the Panetta Theater. Tell me about that, Karin.
Yeah, so first of all, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Sandpoint. Thank you for having us this morning. Very much appreciate it. Yes, I would like to extend an invitation to a really wonderful concert this evening. From our community programs, you're going to see, well, close to 100 children on stage, and it's quite a sight. But before I go into the details of that concert, which is this evening at the Panetta at 6 o'clock, the admission is $5. Children under 12 are free. I would actually like to take an opportunity to introduce John Sarchio, because I'd like for the Sandpoint community to know a little bit more about what these programs are all about and how exciting they are. So if I may introduce John Sarchio, who has come on board as a new director of the community programs. So this was his first semester, and we are so happy he survived it, because it's a very big job working with so many conductors and directors and children. And we are just delighted to have him on board. And John is going to just share a little bit more what these community programs are all about.
Thank you, Karin. Basically, the community programs, we're in our second year, so we're still kind of in a developmental process right now in terms of building our programs. But essentially, the community programs consist of four groups. There's a youth orchestra, a youth choir, a chamber orchestra, and an ensemble choir. And the youth orchestra and youth choir are open to any children who desire to become a part of those groups. The chamber orchestra and ensemble choir do require an audition for children to have a little bit more experience behind them in order to be a part of those groups. But essentially, the mission of the community programs is to involve as many children as possible in learning music and playing music and sharing music. And there's a lot of benefits that come out of doing that. Obviously, the natural benefits of the joy of making music and being able to share that with others, but also the kind of skills that it takes to become a musician, the organizational skills, the listening skills, the tenacity that it takes to achieve success as a musician are all a part of the focus of our program. One of the things that we want to make sure is that money is not an issue with students becoming involved in the community programs. And so our community programs are either a very low cost or no cost. And even where there is a cost involved, if a parent couldn't afford that cost, there are some scholarship funds that could be available to offset that. So really our goal and our mission is to involve as many people as would like to be involved with our musical programs as possible. And then again, to bring that music into the Sandpoint community in a variety of settings.
When did you come on board?
I came on board in January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it has been, as Karin said, an interesting first semester, I imagine.
Absolutely. It's been a whirlwind. Being a part of all the different groups and meeting all the children that we're working with and organizing everything that needs to be organized. But it's really been great. A lot of fun. Terrific people. All of our directors, all of our faculty are very dedicated and committed to the work that they're doing. And it's great to see the results that we're getting with the young people. And some of them very quickly. Some of our students who will be performing tonight, this is the first year that they have been a part of a singing group or been a part of playing an instrument. So this is their first time around, and they're really coming along very, very quickly. So that's a joy for us.
John, this all sounds really exciting. Tell me a little bit about your background, where you're from, what's your connection with this kind of business is, and how you were attracted to Sandpoint.
Okay. Well, it's a lot.
Yeah.
essentially, I'm originally from New Jersey. I was raised.
I heard a little bit of that.
I know it comes out, certain vowel sounds.
Yes.
People pick
diphthongs.
Up on. I think coffee is one that people tend to hear by New Jersey-ness. But anyway, I was raised back east, and I've been a musician since I was 7 years old. Started off on the accordion, which was popular at that point in time. And then when I was 11, I took up the clarinet and studied that very seriously through high school. But I've been a musician all of my life. Professionally, I just retired from full-time work in 2013 after 31 years as an educator. Mm-hmm. I worked for 20 years in primarily private schools, mm-hmm. And I had a lot of different roles as a teacher, counselor, administrator. And then after that, I went to work at the college level my last 11 years. And again, a variety of positions as an advisor.
And Sandpoint.
So,
why Sandpoint?
And Sandpoint, living, actually, when I left New Jersey, I was 23 and I moved to California and lived in California for 23 years. But California was growing very rapidly. The educational system, unfortunately, was on a decline. I had my 7-year-old son at the time, my youngest, and my wife and I were trying to figure out where we could go to raise our son that would be more effective than what we were experiencing in California. And so I started checking the newspaper for ads, and lo and behold, I found an ad for Rocky Mountain Academy in Bonner's Ferry. And in 1993, we moved to Sandpoint, and I worked up at Rocky Mountain and Boulder Creek Academies up north, up in Bonner's. So that's what brought me here.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I've been here since 93 and love it.
Not new to the area at all.
No.
What's your day to day now, or as community programs director? What does your job kind of entail?
Well, basically, it's a part time position. I work primarily 10 hours a week, although more as needed. And you know how that goes.
I do know exactly how that goes. Yeah.
So, essentially, it's really helping out with the youth orchestra, and then making sure all the details of everything else being able to function are being covered. And so, a lot of behind the scenes administrative kind of functioning.
So, how many kids do we have participating in, let's say, in the youth orchestra and choir?
The youth orchestra is about 37. I think the youth choir is somewhere in the low 30s. And then another probably 8 in the chamber orchestra, and the ensemble choir, again, about another 8. So.
And what are our age ranges?
Age ranges, I think, are about 8 to high school age, 17, 18.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
How do the community programs and the music conservatory in general, how do you guys work with the existing music programs in the schools in the area?
So one of the things is that I should mention that these programs are after school programs. So it's really, really important Because there really wasn't an after-school program of that nature. Also, that was, I would say, affordable, because these programs are grant-supported. So it's very important that we are breaking down any kind of financial barrier to make sure they're completely accessible. So right now, the offering is 4 days a week after school. We are aiming for a fifth day eventually. So these are programs are based on the El Sistema system. And just to let you know what that means is El Sistema was an after-school program that was created in the 70s in Venezuela under Abreu. Its goal was really to use music as an, I guess, instrument to take children, give them an alternative to drugs, gang use, alcohol, and anything to get them off the street. It became a huge success, and it went to Mexico, it went to other countries, it jumped borders to the came to the United States about 2 years ago, and we now have El Sistema USA. So it also introduced the biggest renaissance of classical music we have seen in recent history. So we have these orchestras and choirs formed all over the United States, actually all over the world at this point. So it is exciting for the conservatory to be part of that kind of movement and to be actually somewhat on the forefront of it. It was came into existence because we have a parent, and I'd like to spell out a cheers to Eleanor Reed, and who introduced and helped us build an exchange program with Mexico, where we received exposure and training on these programs, and then that was laid our foundation.
So is El Sistema a philosophy or a curriculum?
I would say it's a mixture of it. El Sistema, the system, I would say is really is a system maybe connected with the philosophy and the understanding that music can very well be a tool to help and resolve many social issues. Because the experience of being in an orchestra or in a choir is extremely educational, and many of the children, most of the children that we've seen in Mexico and worked with, they actually, when they're going through this program, they are aiming higher afterwards. They want to go further in their education, and they have different goals than they had before, and no matter what background they came from.
That's neat. I really liked what you said, John, about kind of the takeaways for kids involved in music in terms yes. of organization, listening, tenacity. I put in cooperation there also.
Absolutely.
And are there studies that link participation in music to academic success?
Absolutely. Yeah. Karin, I know you have a lot of information about that, if you have anything to share.
Well, we do know, and just to give you a tiny background, I dipped my toes into music therapy. I went to Chapman University for a couple of semesters to see what that was all about. Music therapy is a very established field in Europe, and we know from that field how music is applied, well, actually exactly what it does to the brain. Because now, because of brain mapping, we can see how the brain functions and how it responds to stimuli. So we understand that music, it stimulates certain aspects of the brain that help academically, be it math, be it reading. We know have a lot of research done there. So from the field of music therapy, we understand the complex issues of music and what it does to your body, to the brain, and how it can help us. And so that is strengthens our cause, from that scientific research.
Now, my grandsons go to a school, they're out of state, but it's a public school in Northern California, and 4 through 8th grades are required to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to hear them at 4th grade and hear them at 8th grade and see kind of the spinoff in terms of what you were saying, John.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Tenacity, organization.
One of the things that's required for success in life is self-confidence. Right. And the way, one of the ways you can gain self-confidence is by taking on challenges and being successful in doing that. And certainly learning to play a musical instrument presents one with the opportunity for that kind of success and to develop that level of self-confidence.
Right. You know, money is always an issue for organizations like yours. And so describe for us your sources of funding and how you go about making this happen.
So this gives me the opportunity to say thank you also to the Idaho Community Foundation, who is extremely supportive of these programs and a major contributor to make these programs happen. So we have a team of excellent grant writers. So, of course, grant writing, fundraising overall. We just did a big fundraiser last week. Then the staff gives concerts. We have two serenades every year that all the benefits go towards raising scholarships. Then I'd like to mention Cal. Cal provided a grant for us to purchase instruments, and we have very nice instruments to give the children at no charge. So really, there's nothing standing in the way for them to participate. So we have violins, we have cellos, we have violas, and you name it, really available. They can, the moment they register with the program, with the community programs, they will take care of them completely.
That's terrific.
Cal, the Community Assistance League?
Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. One other thing I'd like to mention about the community programs that I think is real important is that we involve student mentors, which is meaning that we have older students that are working with younger students. And then the expectation is over time, as the younger students get more proficient and gain an age, then they will become mentors to younger students. So we're hoping to really build on that as we continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And I really like that aspect of developing our internal musical community where students are helping students.
That's cool.
I'd like to answer one question you had more directly. Our working together with the school district and that work together is very important because, I always look at it as, you know, you have PE at school and then they go to soccer in the afternoon or they have afternoon programs. But that really wasn't the case for music per se. It was for sports, but it wasn't for music. So I consider there isn't such a thing as too much music or too much culture. So in that sense, I think it was it's complementing what's already there. And it gives those children who crave more or like to do something in the afternoon, who are not necessarily involved in sports, something different to do.
Very valuable. I like we've been lucky enough to have here in this studio or at our off-campus pledge drive, we've had some of the students from the Music Conservatory play for us. And I have always noticed that we get a variety, you know, students mm-hmm. of a variety of ages playing different instruments, but they all get along very well. And there, you can see yes. It's impressive to see a diverse group of kids from different ages who can all get along, and the older kids do help the younger kids, it seems like. And
yes.
Yeah.
It's the same with staff, actually. I just observed that yesterday, which is a real, really wonderful experience to see how staff is interacting as well. And I think that there's a lot of, ironically, harmony that is really wonderful to observe. And I think that's just part of that mission. You know, you have the staff interacting that way, and then you have the students interacting that way, which is really is what we're aiming for.
So tell us some about your summer offerings that you'll have.
So this year, our summer gifting is larger than the year before. So we always have our orchestra camp. And the orchestra camp this year is July 25th to the 29th. It is $60 for the whole week for full-time participation. Again, we have instruments available. It's open to different abilities. And we are bringing in a guest conductor from Mexico again and exchange students from Mexico as well. That is sort of part of what we do every year. And then our students perform at, have a end of the week performance, orchestra performance. So if you're interested in the summer camp, the orchestra camp, then give us a call, or you can go onto our website, Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, or sandpointconservatory.org, and you can register online or directly with us. We also this year for the first time have a choir camp, and the director is John Fitzgerald, who recently moved here from Pennsylvania. We are also very excited to have him on board. He's also a teaching voice. So he's conducting the choir camp, which is July 18th to the 22nd, and then two extra days the following week, because they will be performing together with the orchestra. And that is $40 for the whole week, and it's also a whole day from 9 to 3. And then we have a theater camp under the direction of Keely Gray, who has recently joined the conservatory. That is from July 5th to the 15th. It's a two-week program for ages, that was 8 and up. And then, of course, we teach our regular, we have a summer semester where we instruct private lessons as before.
So where do the camps happen? Are they in your facility there at the corner of 2nd and Main?
So some are at our facility, but the orchestra camp generally happens at the Sandpoint Middle School. Oh. And we are aiming for this again to happen. The choir camp the same, but it could also be at the conservatory. That is to be determined within really the next week.
Okay. And performances at?
Performances are either at the Panada or at the First Baptist Church, but generally they happen at the Panada.
Okay.
Here's a question. Who's your favorite classical artist, writer? I don't know.
Composer.
Composer is the word that I guess you usually would use for that.
Well, to some degree, I would say we're all about Mozart, and that is to some degree true. Personally, I also really love Karl Orff, but I don't know if I would want to put my finger exactly on one composer. And as an opera singer, I love Wagner. That is something I really love to sing, and Strauss.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, but that's, yeah.
John, do you have a favorite?
You know, what I'd like to share is that the first time I heard a symphony orchestra live, it was at the Convention Center in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I was walking across the hall across the room as the orchestra was rehearsing. And, you know, you hear the different sounds that the orchestra makes and the people tuning up and all that. And all of a sudden, they started Gustav Holst's The Planets, and they were playing Mars. It just knocked me off my feet. It was just an incredibly powerful piece of music. And so I've been a fan of that ever since. Yeah.
You got one, Carrie?
Oh, no. I never remember. I don't remember who writes books or what's in books or anything. And I studied piano for years. But anyway, but one of the most powerful musical things I've ever heard is Tristan and Isolde. And who did that?
Liebestod, Mild und Leise.
Who?
Wagner.
Well, it was okay. Wagner, right? Yeah. I heard it my freshman year in college in like a music appreciation class or something. And I went, whoa. And anyway.
Interesting.
So probably Wagner.
Yes. It's a very famous end scene of Tristan und Isolde.
Yes.
That's a very famous aria.
Yes. I love that. So is that your instrument, your voice? Or okay.
Yeah.
And how about you, John?
I play woodwinds, clarinet, flute, and sax.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for the purposes of this conversation, let's pretend that my favorite is Beethoven.
Good. Because you happen to have something keyed up.
Yeah. I did look for some Beethoven. I found we do have some Beethoven in our library here. Believe it or not, but I don't know. I know the Ode to Joy, and I know some of the big ones. We don't really have what I would say are Beethoven's current greatest hits. We have, and so I didn't recognize the name of any of these old things that we have. So how are you guys at, you musical historians, how are you at recent popular music history, like say 1976? Could you guess what was number one on the Billboard charts on this date in 1976, 40 years ago today? Anyone?
Janis Joplin?
No. No, Joplin wasn't around at that point.
She was already dead.
Yeah.
Does the Bellamy Brothers ring a bell?
Yes.
This is the song Let Your Love Flow, and we will be back to talk more about Beethoven and other things right after this. This was number one on the Billboard charts in 1976. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show. That's the Bellamy Brothers from this date in 1976, their number one hit. Let Your Love Flow. I would guess that was their greatest hit as well, if I had to guess. The Bellamy Brothers,
probably classically rooted.
Yeah, too. I would think so.
Like language is Latin rooted, mm-hmm. Music is classically rooted.
I hear a lot of Beethoven bridge. In the Bellamy Brothers.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of, tonight is that concert, we have lots more to talk about. But one more time, I just want to mention it's tonight, April 28th, from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Panada, and we'll talk more about that in a little while. Right now, Idaho Gives. Karen, what's the...
Yes, so it is... We have some needs, of course. One of the needs is that we need to upgrade instruments. We need to upgrade pianos, and we need to have real pianos. So I know Steinways don't fall from heaven, even though we wish they would. We are part of the Idaho Gives a fundraising. And we have, so we're asking for people to take a look and see if they were to consider to donate. The Idaho Gives fundraising, if I may say the website, is idahogives.razoo.com. If you Google that and then you look for Music Conservatory, it will pull us up. And then you will also see the causes or why we're looking for funds. So one is, of course, very important is to upgrade our instruments and then to continue to support the community programs. So we are inviting everyone who would like to for these programs to continue for years and years to come. Because these children really do need years and years of experience and involvement for these skills to really manifest themselves. We hope to gain momentum also through the Idaho Gives. So please consider making a donation.
In terms of instruments, I know pianos take up a heck of a lot of room, right? And they're difficult to move around, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Is there any improvements in technology that would enable like the electronic versions to be viable or?
So we're working together with the Steinway Gallery, and they wrote a proposal for us what would be a good way to embrace new instruments. So if we were to go be downstairs, and we can bring in a little grand, which is just a regular baby grand, a regular instrument. But if we have to move pianos upstairs, we are forced to look at which are now hybrids. And they're really pretty ingenious, I actually have to say. So they combine technology, and they include digital sound, but the mechanics are piano.
Oh.
So it's pretty interesting. The good part is when you are in an older building where you have temperature variations, to have an instrument that doesn't need to be tuned every 6 months. Because that can be quite expensive. So to have some instruments that are hybrids combined with traditional instruments is what we are aiming for.
Sounds like a good plan. In terms of your building, what's the potential for expansion?
So the plan is that we're working with the owner of the building who is willing to let us expand into the downstairs. And we are in the process of negotiating what that would look like, because that would be extremely attractive if we have the upstairs and the downstairs, because the downstairs has what would be like a concert hall. It seats about 120 people. It would accommodate a beautiful piano. And then we can open the doors. You know, we're at 110 Main Street, for those of you who don't know.
The old fire station, right?
The fire station.
Mm-hmm. And City Hall. They're in the City Hall proper.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which the building itself has conservatory written all over. That's sort of what a classic conservatory would look like. The location is beautiful, and it's a landmark historic building. And it has all the aspects that a school of what we are like would just be wonderful. Yeah, it has all of that. So we're hoping that our plan comes true as soon as maybe this week. And then we'll move forward. And hopefully, for those of you who feel they don't need their Steinway anymore, please 265-4444.
Talk about your relationship with POAC.
So we've been doing various concerts together. We're working very closely together, especially on the Children Performing for Children. So this is a program that incorporates a school district. So that's part of that relationship, because the morning concert is, which I know John is anxious to get his hands on this today, is at 10 o'clock at the Panada for the school district. And POAC... So we are pooling our grants and our resources, and POAC is taking care of the busing to bring the children in, and our part is to provide the concert. So we are doing that twice a year. And then we were part of the Ovation, so we had an opera program that we did for them and together with them. So I think it's just beginning to blossom, and it's just very exciting.
Yeah, if I can jump in, basically we're going to have over 400 students that will be attending the concert this morning at 10 o'clock. And our hope is that we'll be able to inspire them to get involved in music. And that's why the subtitle of the concert being Children Performing for Children.
And that's fifth graders? Is that the...
That's third and fourth
third
grade.
Third and fourth graders.
Yes.
Yes. That is a really cool thing. My grandkids went to... have gone through their education in Sandpoint and participated in those, because they've done those for years down at the Panada. And it's just a really neat thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
It's all about Beethoven today. I should say that. That's a theme.
Who, of course, is one of our favorite composers.
Absolutely. Yeah. What can we expect from this concert tonight for those who are out there considering picking up a ticket?
Well, it's not an all Beethoven concert. There will be a variety of other songs that are included, but each group does at least one Beethoven piece, and they'll be announcing that to the audience so that they're sure to pick that up. And also, in addition to that, we're going to have about an 8-minute slideshow, which is going to share the history of Beethoven, so that that'll be part of the educational benefit of the concert.
Which will be, I'm sure, very interesting.
Yes.
I mean, he had quite an interesting life.
Absolutely.
Quite a character, that Beethoven.
Absolutely.
So who are the different groups? Who's performing tonight? And you can, if you want to, you can give a shout out to the conductors or any soloists as well. I don't know if you have that.
Okay, well, again, it's the Youth Orchestra and the Chamber Orchestra, which is under the conductorship of Nathan Baker. And then we have the Youth Choir, which is being conducted by Michelle Handy. And the ensemble choir, which is being conducted by John Fitzgerald.
It sounds great. It starts at 6 o'clock sharp, so get there. Hopefully, get there a little bit before six. And like you said, POAC, the Pend Oreille Arts Council, is your co-sponsor on this one.
Oh, partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know that Saturday is some event in town where businesses are linked up with different nonprofits. Are
this
you guys associated
Saturday?
With one? Yeah. Was it this Saturday, the 30th? I thought it was the 30th.
It could be this Saturday. Well, I know that. Oh, the Great Gatsby mm-hmm. at the Selkirk School. Well, that's interesting. We'll get into that later. I'm not sure that it is this Saturday, unless maybe it's next week.
Oh,
I don't know.
Are you guys associated with that event?
We are not particular with that event, though we are working together with various businesses in the downtown area to help support. We have a program called Room Sponsorship. So any business that would like to sponsor the school, considering that a school brings a lot of people into the downtown area, is
right.
very much part of the downtown vitality. We invite them to sponsor a room, which and we have various room sizes and various amounts that they could sponsor annually. So we invite them to come and join us that way.
Nice, nice.
This is the Spring for Sandpoint event. Boy, was I mistaken. Local merchants team with nonprofit organizations to bring a day to celebrate our vibrant giving community from 10 a.m. till 5:30 p.m.
It is this Saturday, right?
It is this Saturday, yeah. Yes, you are absolutely right. I should have known.
I found that out by reading The Reader and checking their calendar, and they had a big ad about it or something, too.
Nice. Anyway, so that's going on this Saturday, but that's a topic for a little later in the hour. Right now, I did have one more question, which is if you're a kid interested in joining one of the Music Conservatory's programs. Well, first of all, do you guys get right in? Are you playing music from start to finish of the? Of your session, are you guys talking about music, or what's it look like during the during the week?
Basically, people, young students are learning by immersion. In other words, they're getting involved in the choir group, they're getting involved in the orchestra, and if they're first time musicians, then they're learning by doing. And of course, we have section leaders, we have mentors that are assisting them, so that when they're sitting in the large orchestra for a period of time, then we break into sectionals. And during the sectionals is when they can get a little bit more personal instruction and attention in terms of learning more about their instrument and learning more about the music that they're working on. So over a period of time, all of that develops.
So we can kind of segue into outreach. How do you accomplish outreach? How do you sell your program to kids and parents?
Really by demonstrating.
Okay.
It's really not a hard sell. Just by doing, it is so inspirational. If you were to come, for example, to this evening, when I went to the dress rehearsal and I looked at that and says, how can you not be inspired when you see that many children with beaming faces and their beautiful instruments on stage? That speaks for itself. So there's nothing else necessary. We just go to let schools know, and we let the parents know. These are the programs that we have. And then our outreach is exactly through the children performing for children programs to invite the community to participate, because we want to have as many cheerleaders behind these children as possible, because that is what it takes for them to continue to be inspired and to be committed. If we as a community come together and embrace and celebrate what these kids accomplish and can accomplish and live out their potential, if we all get behind them.
Absolutely.
The organization is the Music Conservatory at Sandpoint, and we have been talking with Executive Director Karin Wiedemeyer and Community Programs Director John Sarchio. Have we covered all the bases here today, guys? Are we forgetting anything?
No, I would just wanted to say you can find us. You can just walk into our office. We are located on 110 Main Street. come up and see us, visit us anytime. If you just wanted to check out the community programs and come and observe, absolutely. We are starting back up in fall, so with a performance today that completes the community programs for the semester. We welcome for you to come, and you know, if you're interested, we have early fall registration because we anticipate that it gets very busy. So if you're interested, you should come and see us. We are, again, 110 Main Street. Our phone number is 265-4444. You can go onto our website, sandpointconservatory.org, if you have questions. But otherwise, we're happy to see you and talk to you anytime.
And 110 Main is the former, for those who've been around for a while, the former Sandpoint City Hall and Fire and Police Department. That was the whole city operation. And you're on the northeast corner of Main and 2nd.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say thank you very much for having us on the program. We really appreciate the opportunity to share the information about what we're doing. So thanks.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have to have you guys back. I'm sure we will again. And some of these summer programs look very interesting as well. Perhaps we'll be hearing about that later on in the year. Right now, time for a little musical interruption. Last song I played was from 40 years ago on this date. Would you like to guess what was number one 60 years ago on this date? Anyone?
In the 50s, huh?
56, April 28th. Number one on the Billboard charts was Elvis Presley.
I was going to say.
This is Heartbreak Hotel. Thanks for tuning into the morning show. We'll be back with your community calendar for the weekend after this. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. That's Del Shannon with Runaway, a song that was, a song that was at number one on this date in 1961, 55 years ago today. And before that, Elvis Presley, 60 years ago today at number one with Heartbreak Hotel. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Jack and Carrie still in the studio here with some upcoming events for the weekend. Although I wanted to ask you, Carrie, I didn't know that that was, I knew that was the fire department. I don't think I knew that that was City Hall.
Yeah, that was City Hall.
How long ago, or, and it's a very old building. When did the new City Hall, were you around?
Yes, I was around when they moved from downtown. So it was after 89, it was in the 90s, early to mid 90s. And the location that the city is now was formerly a Coldwater Creek warehouse and I think administrative offices.
How about that?
And before it was Coldwater Creek, it was a building there with this beautiful fir tree. And it used to house the food bank many, many moons ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so the city was in that building. It was quite an adventure in that building. It was kind of cool, though, because it had all the old hardwood floors. Had been waxed and treated for years, you know, and that I love that smell. It reminds me of my old high school.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was very cramped. It was not ADA accessible and yada, yada, yada. So Ron Chaney was mayor when that was facilitated, the purchase of that current location of City Hall and the sale of the what is now the Music Conservatory.
Yeah. The fire department wasn't there still, was it? Really?
Yeah, the fire department was there. Fire, police, and City Hall. They were all in that one building. It was tight. It was a little tight.
Yeah. And we think parking downtown right now is bad. That's wild.
Well, it's totally cool though when you have City Hall downtown because of the vibrancy it creates and
I was thinking that. You know, it would be nice to have that kind of hustle
awesome
and bustle.
To have it downtown. In fact, there's been some people that really lamented the fact that it moved out there.
Right.
When I was mayor, I was always interested and always looking for opportunities to move City Hall back downtown, preferably using an existing facility and rehabbing it to city purposes, leaving fire and police where they are now. They don't need to come downtown again.
Right.
But administrative would be awesome to have downtown.
Huh. Well, it seems like there's a little real estate down here that might be available. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's before the hour is up, let's talk about what's coming up this weekend here in town. Of course, tonight, Children Performing for Children, the Beethoven focused, but as we found out, not Beethoven exclusive concert from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. That's from 6 till 7 at the historic Panetta Theater. You can call MCS for more information at 265-4444. Also coming up tonight, Yappy Hour out at Laughing Dog Brewing. Bring your dog and enjoy a panhandle animal shelter benefit with live music, beverages, and fun from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. Again, that's at Laughing Dog Brewing out in Pondere, 1109 Fontaine Drive.
I think that's the first Yappy Hour of the season, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Do you have dogs, Carrie?
No,
a dog?
I don't. No,
me
I don't.
Neither.
Nope.
Well, me neither, but I do like going to Laughing Dog nonetheless. 265-7297 for more information about that. Goat Hop Ale Redux and Winter Tracks Volunteer Celebration. It's spring to celebrate. Come to McDuff's Brew Hall at 220 Cedar Street and hoist a pint of the by now famous Goat Hop Ale. Well, that's interesting. Help our neighbors here, KRFY's neighbors down the hall, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, toast the season and toast the volunteers who made the FS PW Winter Tracks program so successful. It begins at 6 p.m. Come one, come all, bring a snack to share. I imagine that is probably 21 and older because it is at the brew
hall. I get the goat hop now. It's associated with the Scotchman's Peak, right? Because of the goats up on top?
I imagine so,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, get it.
Coming up tomorrow night, out at the Pondere Winery, 301 Cedar Street, from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m., Jake Robin will be playing original acoustic rock sounds with pop culture lyrical charisma. powine.com for more information or call 265-8545. Or go across the street, if Jake Robin's not your thing, to the Idaho Poor Authority. Or just down the street, live music from 5:30 till 7:30 p.m. Or we were talking on the morning show just a few weeks back about the wine festival at Sandpoint. The festival at Sandpoint is taking its annual wine fundraiser held at the Bonner County Fairgrounds to a whole new level this year. The event features an unlimited tasting of more than 150 premier wines, a five-star dining experience, top-notch musical entertainment from, if I remember correctly, I think it's from Still Tipsy and the Hangovers is the name of the band.
They're good.
And a special selection of silent and live auction items up to bid to top it all off. The 2016 festival lineup will be announced tonight. No separate event for the festival lineup announcement. It's tonight. No, sorry, not tonight. Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I haven't had enough coffee yet this morning. Tomorrow night at the Wine Festival at Sandpoint out at the fairgrounds. 265-4554.
And I think you can still get your festival passes at the knowing the lineup for like two nights. Oh, excuse me.
Right.
Yeah. For, you can still buy today and tomorrow.
Yes, you can. You can get them today and tomorrow, and then it's time to buy the individual tickets, which is gonna be up a little bit in price. What do you got?
Okay,
what else is
continuing
going on?
April 29th, the Beer Hall Live Music at McDuff's Beer Hall, 220 Cedar Street, from 6:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. with Justin Landtrip, featuring originals and covers alike from one of Sandpoint's favorite talents. Free and open to the public, 21 and over, non-smoking, fun and games environment, and that's McDuff's.com. April 29th through May 1st, and May 7th through 8th at the Panetta, they're showing the screening of the film Papa Hemingway in Cuba. at 5 p.m. on Fridays, 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, and 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. That matinee is kind of a new thing, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
This is my first hearing of that movie, but it sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. Does it say documentary or is that a
No, it doesn't. It says learn more on the Sandpoint Movies page.
There you go.
So
go to panada.org, I suppose. Yep.
April 29th through May 1st. April and the Extraordinary World at the Panada Theater. It's the animated film April and the Extraordinary World at 7:30 p.m. Friday, 3:30 p.m. Saturday, and 1:30 p.m. Sunday. The movie will be shown in French on Friday with English subtitles, and it'll be shown in English on Saturday and Sunday. And again, more information on the Sandpoint Movies page.
That would be Avril in the Extraordinary World then.
Oh,
I'm guessing.
Okay.
In French.
Got it. Do you speak French?
No, not at all. But I do. I think that's the...
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think that's April.
I think you're right. And I note there is no Maypole celebration this year on May Day.
Oh.
Well, does anybody ever do that anymore? I think Waldorf School does it every once in a while.
Huh.
No. Okay. Saturday, the 30th, Spring for Sandpoint, local merchants team with nonprofit organizations to bring Spring for Sandpoint a day to celebrate our vibrant giving community from 10 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. when participating stores will offer sales and specials as well as a variety of activities. In addition, enjoy product demonstrations, food and beverage samplings, mini manicures and chair massages from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Join Creations for Kids activities as well as boat building with Captain Dan at Northwest Handmade. A portion of the day's shopping proceeds will be donated to participating nonprofits. Celebrate spring, enjoy beautiful downtown Sandpoint, and support local charities this Saturday. It's sponsored by the Sandpoint Shopping District. More information at 208-265-5060. Our local businesses give so much to community groups that this is an interesting way to approach that.
Is that new?
It's new. I think so too.
I don't think I've noted it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also on the 30th, the used book sale, Bonner Mall's used book sale held from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the last Saturday of every month inside the Bonner Mall in Ponderé. For information, 208-263-4272. And also on the 30th, the Bosom Buddies Quilt Show. The Bosom Buddies Quilting Group holds a quilt show from 10 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. in the Burned Building, 311 North 1st Avenue. This local group makes quilts for women going through breast cancer. Admission is by donation. A beautiful queen-size quilt and a wall quilt will be raffled to help raise money for the group to buy materials. More information, 208-920-3305.
Hmm. How about
that? Interesting. Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Well, let's see. Briefly, we're almost out of time, but there's a craft fair at Washington Elementary. All are invited to the craft fair from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. That's again on Saturday, the 30th, this weekend. This a PTA fundraiser for art classes held in the Washington Elementary School gym at 420 South Boyer Avenue. Craft vendors and baked goods to support Washington's Art Explore classes provided by Creations. 254-6514 is the phone number for more information about that. Hey, Greasy Fingers Bikes and Repair on 108 North 3rd Avenue is celebrating, as they're saying, Season 6. It's their birthday celebration. From 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. this Saturday, there will be a barbecue, refreshments, raffles, discounts, and good old times. Now this one, The Great Gatsby, A Grand Night Out at the Selkirk School. Pasta dinner fundraiser at 5 p.m. in the Ponderé Event Center. That's at 401 Bonner Mall Way in Ponderé, the Ponderé Event Center. Pasta dinner catered by Ivano's Ristorante, live music featuring Truck Mills, a no-host bar, plus live dessert auction and silent auction. All are welcome to attend. Ticket information at the Selkirk School, which is on Pine Street, or call 263-4931. You may want to call to find out the dress code, because there's nothing mentioned here, but when I hear A Grand Night Out, The Great Gatsby, I wonder if it's black tie or something like that. At DeLuna's Cafe, there's a Palettes Uncorked event. a night of wine, food, and a little creativity from 5 p.m. Instructor Randy Wilhelm will walk budding artists through the process of creating your own acrylic masterpiece. That's on this Saturday, the 30th at 5 p.m. More at delunas.com or 263-0846. There's music at the Poor Authority, music at the Beer Hall, and then up in Bonner's Ferry, if you can hear me up there, Gordon Rowland or Rowland is playing at the Pearl Theater in Bonner's Ferry on Saturday night, 7 p.m. A lifetime of experience in classical music. He divides his time teaching young apprentices, introducing young apprentices to the art of guitar, organizing events, and playing at social events. Gordon is listed in Who's Who in Music International. How about that? So just consult your copy of Who's Who Music International to find out more about Gordon Rowland, or go to thepearltheater.org or call 610-2846 for more information about that. We're fresh out of time. This has been The Morning Show. Thank you, Carrie.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long.